listening to From the Fryer and sticking with us while we were out. We missed you.
Yeah, and this is Leon. Thank you guys so much for joining us on another episode of Married at First Sight.
So, we were gone almost a week. We were gone 6 days in the Mexican mountains to visit my family, my 98-year-old grandpa, and just kind of show Leon my second home.
Yeah,
we now have a nickname for him. We call him Mirla.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I had a lot of breakdowns during the trip. It was a lot of... We got a rental car. Well, I've visited Mexico before, but I've never actually driven there. It's always uncles or someone's driving, and I'm just a passenger hanging out.
He drove once, and after...
I drove in the city.
But for about 15 minutes. No, like 30.
Like 30. It was a half hour.
And after it I
almost
saw...
Almost brought me to my knees.
After I saw that fit, we decided no more. So I drove the rest of the time.
So driving in the city to me at that time felt like a total clusterfuck, but it probably wasn't that big of a deal.
It wasn't. It was nighttime, and I think that made it worse, but also better in terms of traffic.
Yeah, a lot. Because we were taking taxis during the day, and it was insane how lane merging works and traffic lights and all that stuff. It's kind of...
One ways that are not noted is one way.
It feels like it's all over the place, but I'm sure there's some kind of organization within the chaos, but...
Yeah, like, if you're from there, you know, but yeah. Us just coming in, I've also never driven
country. Also, so. Being the car didn't belong to us, I kind of felt a little bit more on the edge of, oh my gosh, somebody could just dent this thing if they just wanted to for whatever reason, and I'm having to pay for it or whatever. But the countryside driving was...
It was fine.
It was awesome.
It was totally fine.
No traffic. Good roads. The roads totally surprised me. Just from families from, I don't know, some roads are fine and some roads are kind of more just not built up. But
yeah,
95% of all of our travel was totally fine roads.
Fun trip. Way too fast. But it was good.
Yeah.
It was good to see everyone. Also, it was my first week off in 2 years, and I didn't really realize how burnt out I was until I got somewhere where I couldn't work at all. No internet, no phone, nothing. I couldn't connect if I wanted to. I honestly think I needed that, otherwise I would have worked. So, very nice to have a week off. I never want to go that long again without having a vacation.
Yeah, I think I was having... bad effects. I constantly check on my phone if I did get signal. It's just not good.
Oh yeah,
we tend to use our phones a lot for cameras because they tend to have really good pictures. Like maybe if we had a situation where we had some kind of an actual, like even a cheap point and shoot that took decent photos or something, where you could really just leave the phone, you know, you didn't need the phone for anything, not even for photos, it would be a little bit easier to disconnect.
Yeah.
But the fact that I had my phone and in certain areas I did get signal, it kind of just kept me wanting to check it.
Like an addiction. It just gives you a taste.
Yeah. I kind of wish I just didn't have the phone on me and had like a camera or something. Because you want to capture those memories, right?
Yeah. Example, going on a hike kind of down some mountains and then up some mountains. And when we reached a certain point, he had internet. And it was like, I need to leave him alone and to have his time with Twitter.
Ellie's mom was taking us on a trail to check out some of their land that has a decent amount of fruit trees on them, like coffee beans,
banana, oranges, limes.
Which is really freaking cool because the region my family's from, it's more of like coconut and mangoes, but that's usually all I see. But it was cool to see a area that had a lot more diversity. That was really cool.
But you got signal there, and I just said,
but then I got signal and like halfway through the trail, and I was like, oh my gosh, I should just be walking to this point where I actually have signal.
Every day. Yeah. I remember we were 5 hours into being in this tiny town that we were staying in, and I showed him everything there was to show him, and he just was like, what else? What are we going to do?
No, it's good. They're humbling experiences, and you...
Very humbling. You
know, I'm not going to down-talk Mexico like everything's terrible. It's not.
It was awesome. Great. It's
really
just a different
awesome.
Way of life.
But yeah, just things are different. Like even the plumbing, you know, even like plumbing system, like in Mexico, you can't, in most places, you can't like do simple things like flush down toilet paper because they just don't have like the pressure or the
infrastructure's not
the infrastructure to like take that. Like, it might clog the system and whatnot.
Electricity can be sketchy. It flickered many times.
just depending on what regions you are. I mean, sure, if you're in the cities, it's, or maybe like some tourist areas, you probably want to experience this, but in a lot, most other areas, it's, you might have warm water.
Oh my God. This was the first time in Mexico, in the area that my family is from, that I had a hot shower. That was crazy. Yeah. I was trying to explain to Leon, like, you have it so good right now, even though you're struggling. It's nice.
Yeah, it is. But I was...
Pulled through, though.
Yeah. I had a pretty good time. Ended up having signal in a lot more places than I thought I would.
Yes. Like, this is way better than it used to be. Mm-hmm. It felt way too fast. So I usually go for a minimum of 2 weeks. I've gone... As a kid, my parents would, like, take me for a month, which is way too long as a small child. It just felt like a year. Yeah. As an adult, 2 weeks feels really good. And then just having a little bit less than a week just felt way too fast. And so I don't know, it really humbles you to be there. And I almost had a sense of guilt coming back. I usually try to like help around the land or with the animals or the house. And I didn't really do that this time. And so I do feel a little bit bad, but I just keep telling myself I'll go again next year and I'll add a couple days and I'll make sure.
Yeah, we'll definitely.
Instead of maybe relaxing too much, I'll maybe have taken a vacation in the next year and then can help out more.
There's something that always, I think I always get surprised. You and I sat down for a meal and we got, you know, enough to feed both of us and two drinks. And I think it was under 100 pesos, which is under $5. My mind was just blown. I was like, oh my gosh, this is insane. It's just like the differences in like what we pay here versus what you might pay in another country for a meal. It's pretty insane how different it can be.
Just kind of for reference. So I had a sandwich and two, we each got a drink at a little market spot and it was about $4. We were starving at LAX because our initial connection almost didn't even happen. We almost missed our first connection, made it to LAX. We needed food and we went to a little stand and my sandwich was $13.
Yeah, just a sandwich.
Painful.
Yeah, it's wild.
But anyway, we are back and we're so happy to be with you. I honestly missed podcasting, so I'm very excited to do this episode. We watched an absurd amount of Married at First Sight today.
We actually did. We talked about the pod a decent amount when we were away.
Yeah.
Just of like how we were going to return to it and do the double episode.
Double episodes, when we're going to drop it. So this one should be out on Friday. I don't know if I should announce that. Give myself some more grace, but we'll see. And then we will do 90 Day Fiancé, both episodes dropping on Sunday. So check that out if you'd like, if you're interested in the show.
Yeah, it's definitely the goal. So bear with us. And yeah, thank you guys for
And also thank you for always being so nice on the weeks I do need to do double episodes. If like work is crazy, I'm pulling those 10 to 12 hour days. It's always nice that people are not mean. Okay, enough vacation talk. I'm very happy to be back. So let's get into Married at First Sight, season 13, episode 14 and 15. Let's start off with episode 14, Country Chaos. This is Leon's favorite part of every season, the couples retreat, which was a ranch retreat this year. I kind of messed myself up for this episode because there was so much group time. I usually break down the episodes based on couple, but we're going to kind of have to bounce around because I should have done it kind of in chronological order because we had like group and then out of nowhere it'd be a couple's time. And so we'll just make something work.
Yeah, I think it's been a theme lately. Like some shit always goes down in the couples retreat, but I enjoy the moments when all the couples are together. I feel like it just makes for better theater and better connections. Yeah, definitely. You know, getting at this point, you've been invested in the show for some time. So maybe you've sort of have an attachment to the characters, you know, you call them the characters on the show, the couples, and you know their storyline, you know what they're going on, even more so than their friends that they're interacting with at that moment, because they might not know all the nitty gritty details that are going on.
These are the only people that would understand what's going on right now.
So it makes the couples retreat just really fascinating, and things can develop, you know, positive and negative at these events.
All right, starting with Bao and Johnny. Bao is more excited to reconnect with the other couples than Johnny, and honestly, I don't blame her.
It is interesting to see which couples have sort of checked out, or you can feel the demise
yes,
coming.
Absolutely. At this point in my notes, I noted that it looked like they are sleeping in separate rooms from their conversations, and it was confirmed that you can tell when they came home from the couples retreat, he just went like straight to the guest room and put his stuff down.
Yeah, they're heavily...
So they're really going backwards, because before at least they were in the same bed.
They're in the mode of when you are sharing an apartment with someone that isn't your friend.
Yeah, you're just existing. There's nothing nice going on. They get to the couple's retreat and Bao is cooking for everyone and it looks great.
Yeah, they have her...
AKA Johnny needs to stop complaining.
I like how she gets to show off a little bit of the gourmet cooking and then... but hey, yo, shout out to Jose. He stepped up. I think he did all the chicken. That's awesome. It all looked good. Yeah, again, just another moment where you get to see people interact with each other, see their personalities. And it's good that she's sort of taking shots at Johnny now.
I know. Instead of just completely backing down every single time. Like, she's actually giving him a little shit now. Yeah, and I like it.
She's way more on the offensive now. And she's kind of just said, fuck it. I'm just going to give him shit too, since all I'm getting is taking shit from him.
Exactly. Michaela and Zach. Zach says he wants her to apologize for what she did. But he was the one that wanted to leave first. So we're going back a couple episodes to when he left the apartment and then she moved out after he was going to leave. All of this because she did not want to share the bed with him for one night. That's absurd.
Do you think there's a deeper meaning to that? As in...
Yes, he took it way deeper.
Simplifying the man's brain here, but if you're sleeping in the same bed, it kind of means we're poking.
Not necessarily, but there is an intimacy of sharing a bed, regardless of if there's sex going on. Like, it's an intimate thing.
And almost if you deny sleeping in the same bed with me, you're essentially rejecting, like, me.
Yes, I'm rejecting you for one night, not through the marriage. So, I mean, you still have to... I think it's okay to need space. I think it's normal for couples to get in an argument and say, I just need a little bit of space. And then you come together with a clearer head in an hour or the next day.
I think we've given people shit before that do sort of just leave for their apartments.
Yes. No, I think
in most of these cases on this season, it doesn't seem to have been working out. But I think overall, it probably is a good idea.
I think that you should not leave to your separate apartment. I think you should leave to the separate bedroom that is in the same apartment, personally.
I think, yeah, I could agree with that. If I say that every couple's different and every situation,
it's true.
It sounds too cliche, but...
They stop at a lavender farm on the way to the retreat. She says that she talked to her sister and his brothers and feels a lot better about what happened. I just feel like she did a lot of talking about, it's not necessarily apologizing, but her role in this. But Zach has to take no blame, and I don't think that's fair.
We'll probably get more into them, but I sense that each one of them doesn't take full accountability for their actions.
Like their part in it.
Their part in what leads to certain situations. And I think it's very detrimental to their relationship.
Yeah. And also, this incident specifically bothered me. It's just not fair to say this was all Michaela's fault. She moved out. Well, why did she move out? Oh, because you were leaving her in the apartment for the simple fact that for one night she wanted separate beds.
Yep.
It just... Like, all of their situations, it blows up into something it doesn't need to.
I usually ask you, like, what sides is social media taking?
Yeah.
In the storyline, are more people for Zach?
It's generally more for Zach. I haven't looked recently.
Well, before these episodes, you were... We'll talk about this further, but you were more team Michaela. And I think I was more on team Zach.
Yes. Because I can always see her side. I'm not saying she's right all the time and the reactions are not always right, but I could kind of see her side. I don't know. I have lots to say about this later as we go on through the retreat. We'll come back to them. I have much, much on them.
Definitely.
The note-taking was furious during this episode.
Yeah, these two episodes are insane. There's going to be a lot to cover.
Brett and Ryan. Brett brings up the conversation with Ryan's sister about him seemingly being distracted. And immediately Ryan is defensive.
This was on their ride over
to the retreat.
He's very defensive. It definitely looks like he just doesn't want any part of the conversation. He almost stays just active enough where you can't really say he's shutting it down. But it's just at that point.
Apparently, Ryan's been telling people that he's going to tell Brett that he just wants to be friends. Why is she hearing that from other people?
I don't give too much into things like that. I just don't buy that. You know, just...
You don't buy the he said, she said.
And then, you know, it travels through people. You know, it keeps traveling down the rabbit hole. And then eventually it's something totally different. I just don't give that much.
And Ryan kind of starts spiraling to where he's talking but not saying really anything that makes sense. Like, he's about talking about his actions. About his, you know,
actions.
And I'm like, there's no action. You don't do anything.
He almost seems to be getting tongue twisted as he's describing it to her. And I checked out. I couldn't take him seriously.
I like replayed it 3 times because I couldn't like dissect what he was saying.
I think I told Ellie, I was like, I have no idea what he's talking about.
No. Mirla and Gil. I don't understand why Mirla was wearing wedges to go to the ranch retreat.
The country.
When we see her in sneakers all the time.
Yes.
Very strange. But whatever.
She almost broke her ankle.
Oh my god. We watched this so many times.
She was probably like centimeters from either tearing a ligament.
Yes.
Or breaking
because
her
fucking
ankle.
Because it's not even like it went inward. It went outward. That ankle is
Wouldn't
strong.
It be terrible? You're at the Cubs retreat and you just have a huge sprained ankle.
Yeah. Or you're like, go to the doctors. Mirla doesn't like staying with everyone and immediately just not really feeling it. But we knew that's how it would be.
Yeah, definitely.
So we start out with a bonfire with everyone. Did you think that the whole group getting Brett cookies and sparklers and things to make her feel better about Baxter, did you think that was truly the cast or do you think that was producer?
I think maybe the cast, maybe they sort of text and kind of talk about, hey, like, what's something we can do? But production might make it happen. They'll do the legwork of sparklers and although the cookie with the dog's name on it.
Oh
was
my
weird.
God, that made me uncomfortable. Like that made me sad. Baxter.
Okay, see, now I just picture her just crying as she's like eating the cookie that says
her,
his name.
Yeah, it's just I don't know.
That was odd.
It was weird to me.
Odd choice.
But I mean, she seemed to really appreciate it. She gave a super nice speech to the group, you know, expressing her gratitude for everyone checking in on her, and that was really nice. So maybe she just took it a lot better
than
we did.
Maybe there's some research in what do you get someone to help them, you
know, grieve a pet
and maybe a cookie. We could be wrong.
Ryan was really talking better about Baxter than he ever has about Brett.
Oof.
He had lots of nice things to say about Baxter.
Did that sting a little?
Yeah, I was insulted on behalf of Brett.
Yeah, I can't imagine losing a pet.
No, so sad. Oh my god, our neighbor's cat was gone for like 2 days and we were so sad. It's not even our pet. He just visits.
I mean, like, lost signs.
There were lost signs. The next door app was popping off. But he came home. Also, the boys totally deserved having to figure out the sleeping situation. The girls definitely deserved their own rooms. By that, I mean Bao and Brett.
Oh, this is a Johnny and Ryan.
Yeah, they are the two that deserve to be in this situation.
Remember when Ryan was sleeping on the sofa and he says, you know, I just can't do this anymore.
With the apartment,
my sleep, you know, I really value it or whatever. I need to get some rest.
Yeah. He's meant to be on the couch.
And then, yeah, he plays Johnny with Rock, Paper, Scissors, a sudden death match. And he goes right back to the couch. I was like, fuck that karma.
The fact that Johnny and Ryan give each other relationship advice and talk about their relationship seems so dysfunctional. Like, clearly you're both failing. So, not working.
Maybe they both want confirmation that it's okay to say no. This isn't for me.
And I agree. That is totally okay.
Versus talking with someone like Gil or to kind of like push you to like, hey, no, man, you know, fight more, you know, just keep going. Don't stop.
But Gil's going to call you out on your shit as to where these two are just like, yeah, our girls are crazy. Women are nuts. Hate that.
Oh my god.
Ryan said now that he's ready to put in more effort, Brett has checked out. Yeah, no shit.
Dude, it's been like 6 weeks.
It's been 6 weeks. You've done nothing.
No affection.
Yep, and put her down and oh darn, she's not fully in this anymore. Like, yeah. Then we move on the next day to Cornhole. I said that really weird. Cornhole.
Yeah, one word, I think.
Jose and Rachel are enjoying themselves, and he loves that she is getting a little bit competitive. Michaela and Zach look like they're having a good time, even though they had that fight.
Their relationship is weird. They go hot cold in very extreme magnitudes. It's pretty wild.
It's awful. Even just like viewing it is awful. I can't imagine being in it. We do the usual thing where we split the guys and the girls up for their separate conversations. Starting with girl talk, Michaela says that they are in an I don't care kind of area, but that also brought them together. See, sometimes people say things, I don't even know what that means.
I think, I don't know, a lot of the times when I see them talk about their relationship to the other couples, one, I don't really, I can't ever believe what they're saying.
You said that a lot this episode.
I just, it's almost like they're trying to present themselves in a positive light, even though they're going through some shit.
Yeah.
It's usually,
like there's hope, it's usually, and we're working on
it. It's usually Brett and Ryan or Johnny and Bao. They're open about with the group, yeah, that, hey, you know, we're just working through some stuff. You know, it's not, you know, we're just, you know, working through some stuff. And then Ryan, even in one of their conversations, said, hey, man, you know, don't feel alone. You know, we're going through some stuff too. So, yeah, you know, I feel you. But I don't ever feel that from Zach and Michaela in those group settings where they're saying, yeah, we're going through some shit and we're not doing so hot.
Yeah.
They always sort of color it in a better way. It's, I don't know.
Brett talks about how she is 100% herself at the start of a relationship, but as soon as she's rejected, she shuts down. And that's completely understandable and completely what we're seeing here. She was very open in the beginning. She kind of did everything that she thought she should be doing and got nothing.
Do you really think it was, I think we talked about it before. Do you think it was just an affection thing? He just wasn't into her. And
I just think he physically was not into her and he didn't allow himself to go beyond that.
Yeah, I would agree. From what we've seen from her, she seems totally normal. I mean,
she's super chill.
Normal as, you know, in as humans can be.
She's just a chill kind of regular girl. Like there's nothing wrong. I don't know. In my opinion, I guess. Ryan feels differently. Bao says she is disappointed, mad, and has had enough. She talks about her parents' relationship and how she's seeing that in her relationship, how she's backing down and devaluing herself. Brett agrees. Yep.
Is this kind of her stance of, you know, I'm not going to let someone treat me that way?
Yeah, and just I think kind of what we noticed in previous episodes where she does back down to him and she will, if he
sort of cater to him
and anything that he needs, his wants, his everything is above hers. Mm-hmm. And she's starting to realize that she does not want to be.
I actually do like this side about being on the offensive. Yes. Defending yourself.
Same.
You shouldn't have to cater that much to your partner. Like that's, you can stretch yourself and whatnot, obviously to make yourselves work for each other, but
don't walk on eggshells.
Yeah. You shouldn't walk on eggshells.
That's like, I don't know. Just never.
Red flags.
During guy talk, Zach says that they're in a good place, even with the arguments a few days ago. He says, I think she didn't want me to leave in the first place. She should have told me to stay. But why were you leaving? So
is this that whole want to be wanted, but in a weird way of I need someone to tell me to come back?
Yes, but like clearly your wife would not want you to leave. So why are you doing it? You need her to come run after you. You need that wanting.
I think we get some of that in a future.
Oh, yeah. Ryan talks about needing to try something different, and that's why he wanted to stay in the same room. But how does that make any sense, since they don't even stay in the same room?
This one he was talking with Brett, correct?
No, this isn't guy talk.
Gotcha. Yeah, that kind of backfired on him.
Yeah, and she explains it very well, and I totally agree with her. Zach surprisingly asks what the difference between not sleeping together at home and not sleeping together at the retreat is.
And he can't even answer.
Nope, he has no answer. So why would he expect that out of nowhere? Johnny realizes he's emotional.
I just wrote LOL.
Oh my god. Then they go skeet shooting. Did I say that right?
Yeah, skeet shooting, yeah.
Okay. Terrifying. No gun safety. Freaked me out.
In my mind, I'm going to pretend that they skipped the boring part of this is gun safety, but I really hope someone showed them.
They really just was like, Ryan knows what he's doing and handed out guns, and it scared me. I think that Ryan's totally fine handling guns, like no big deal, but with Valve not really knowing, it like scared the crap out of me when the gun went off.
I'll give you guys some general gun safety rules. You should probably keep the gun on safe. Yes. If you're not about to do something, you should point it at the ground. You know, you only get it ready to point when you're ready to shoot something. and don't put your finger on the trigger unless you are ready to fire. That's some general rules.
Hot tips from a vet.
Yeah, these are very basic rules. When Bao, it shot off, when Bao was just holding it all casual, yeah. I was like, why the fuck is your finger anywhere next to the trigger?
She's, you know, opening
She's looking back behind her while her finger's on the trigger in front of her. What if some rando guy is just walking down there to clean some debris and like a pellet hits him in the butt? Like, you just don't know like what's down there. Don't do that, please.
Trust me.
I kind of wait, and Ryan, because he looked kind of comfortable out there.
Yeah, because he kinda putting
it
on. Stuff.
I'm kind of putting it on him. He should have given them a very basic lesson.
Yeah, a stern lesson. So Johnny and Brett are kind of hanging out in the car. I'm like, Brett, I don't like sudden loud sounds. So 4th of July, I'm a baby. I'm not lighting any fireworks. I'll be present, but internally panicking the whole time. Champagne popping, I hate the anticipation of it. Fun, but terrifying.
Some fireworks in Mexico.
Yeah, and notice I was never out there with you guys. And yeah, popping balloons is one of my least favorite things. And my nieces and nephew know that now. And so they'll purposely be like making the squeaky sounds. Hate it. But I digress. So Ryan says that Brett shut down, but she's just sitting with Johnny, who also is not really participating. So I don't think it's a big deal. Like, they're just hanging out.
I think it kind of deflates the outing, though. Like, it's almost like
we, like, if not we everyone participates,
yeah, like everyone wants everyone to have a good time, so it kind of seems like, well, we, you know, could we have chosen something else where everyone could have actually enjoyed themselves? Because yeah, I'm having fun, but it's also kind of sucks that's enjoying it with me.
That's true. Okay, going back to couples now, we pretty much handled all of the group activity. So this is Zach and Michaela talking, I don't know, outside of a barn, I don't know, outside something on a patio during the retreat. Zach says he feels like he has been consistent through the relationship. Do you think that's true?
Like, consistently inconsistent? Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
I don't think he's been consistent.
I think his, the way he flows with the relationship, like, his whole, we have a fundamental difference. And that sort of, the way he pictures those moments, I think those have been consistent. It's hard to say because their relationship is so inconsistent that how can you say that?
What is
consistent? Well, yeah, like, how can you say that about how you have been in your relationship and either one of you? Michaela, it seems like sometimes she does have moments where she kind of gets not out of control, but just she has like these strong moments. But then other times she's almost like this comforting listener. It's very different.
Yeah. I thought it was weird that their conversation privately the night before had them decide that they are going to get a divorce, take a break from each other, and then get together to see if there's anything there. Wouldn't it be easier to just say yes on decision day, separate for a little bit, come together, nothing happens, you get a divorce?
Maybe the divorce process is...
Maybe.
If it's outside of the show.
Oh, maybe.
Of the show.
Versus like an annulment versus a divorce. That just seems like a lot of, we're extending the inevitable.
No. I think what they were getting at was there's a lot that comes with this show. You know, we have crews. There's a lot of people watching us. There's a lot of planned events. There's maybe planned dates for all we know, planned things we have to do. It's not a traditional let's date, let's go out for dinner, let's watch the game, learn about each other, no cameras, just let's just... I mean, yeah, they do live with each other outside of the crew, but I mean, it's also this planned apartment. Like, just it's just very planned, right?
Yeah,
it's planned to try to make things go right. So I think they were thinking of let's just divorce, reconnect later, approach things very fresh. Let's just get to know each other again and see if it works out. And if it doesn't, you know, no big deal. We're already divorced. Let's just go our separate ways.
And then my question on that is, then why even talk about it? Just enjoy your weekend, because that seems to be the plan anyway. I don't know why any of this is being brought up.
I don't know. Maybe it's just the producers and how they sort of, you know, sort of force dialogue.
Yeah.
Maybe different emotions come out of people.
You have to set up scenes.
Yeah, different emotions come out of people as they're sort of talking through things. And yeah, we see in their talks, it gets pretty wild.
I stand by what I said, that both of them are not ready to be married.
I totally agree. And I'll just mention this ahead of the show, but there's a scene where Zach says, I've been ready to be married since I was 17.
Bullshit.
And my fucking palm hit my face so hard.
Very few people are ready for that. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. It does. But I do not believe that he was ready because he's not even ready now.
I would imagine that the kind of person he is at 17, he had so much shit going on, yeah. Whether it was educational, sports, whatever.
He wasn't going to make a marriage work.
At 17, he's like, you know what? I got this great girlfriend. I should marry her.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he had a girlfriend at the time.
Well, he's clearly had other girlfriends, and that hasn't happened yet, so.
Well, we found out he actually called one, and it must have been that the girlfriend dropped him, so.
So this is kind of where the first incident happens. Zach doesn't think marriage was more work than he thought it would be. He said marriage with her is way more work than he thought it would be. We both thought this was a little over the line. Well,
we kept pausing.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my God, this was the moment we've been previewed. This is where she blows up.
Yeah.
And we find out, not that line.
No, but it started the boil though. She says, if marriage with me is so hard, then why continue?
This is why it got brought back up.
Yes. He says, because different circumstances and seeing how it is then. Example, being divorced versus being married and how their relationship will be different under those circumstances. I wrote, I think she's reacting to how full of shit he is. Because that wasn't the conversation.
I think so too. And when she reacted, I actually didn't expect her to come back.
No, she did. Granted, the reaction is a little much, but again, maybe I'm just too...
A little much? I would just call the reaction even beyond childish.
Yeah.
Like, normal people don't react like that. Even kids don't react like that. Kids might just break out in tears and, I don't know, just sit there or something. Like, it was just too much. And then Zach says, this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
These reactions. And at that moment, I was kind of thinking, I was like, I feel you, dude. This is kind of wild. He seems like someone who doesn't like the big blow-ups.
He would rather have a
semi-controlled conversation of, let's just talk it out like adults. Let's try to figure it out. So when he sees a reaction like that, even in his own perspective, he's like, I don't deal with reactions like this. Like, this is way out of the ordinary.
But he also, I just feel like people can get so frustrated with his lack of really saying anything when he talks.
Mm.
Or him, like, just shutting down. Because we've seen that, too. Again, not saying, like, Michaela's correct. I just have also seen the flaws of Zach. That's all I'm saying.
Is that what your thoughts were when you initially saw that scene? Was it semi...
Not that it was okay, but I see her side. Again, the reaction was too much. I'm not saying it's not. Like, I would have called him out in a simple, calm way, but not in, you know, getting up and having that reaction.
Right. You would probably looked at him and been like, are you full of shit?
No, I just would have said that. I'd have been like, you're full of shit. What are you saying?
But see, I would be with, you know, folks in the crowd that would say this is too much.
And she's also not wrong when she says, whether or not we're married, she will still be who she is.
Yeah, it's not going to change. Even if we get divorced, I'm not going to be different.
Exactly. So, she's not wrong again, reaction too much, but what she says is correct.
I mean, is it also bad, though, you're not willing to... Again, we said you can stretch yourself a bit, but don't bend to someone. Or
yeah.
There is a compromise there of, we need to work together to make this happen.
Yeah.
But then she says, well, yeah, I'm still going to be me. I was like, well, yeah, I get that, but there are things that we need to work through. And if you just say, well, yeah, I'm just going to be me, well, okay, well, that also kind of signals that you're not going to lead towards any change. Yeah.
But this kind of goes back, like, they both need their own individual therapy and they need to work through stuff because neither one of them are ready to be in a serious relationship, let alone
marriage. Yeah. I mean, we've had seen Zach have emotional moments.
Yeah.
You know, almost like he deals with,
he's a very anxious person.
Being a perfectionist, being anxious, you know, everything he does can't be perfect, or he's sort of self-doubt or you know, heavily criticizing himself. You know, a lot of people deal with that, but yeah, I mean, definitely probably should talk with someone, you know, work it out. And
how do you feel about what Bao said? She said, he's not behaving how you'd prefer, but he's still in the relationship, is he not? So why would you push him away?
I think for her, this could probably be a defense mechanism.
Oh, yeah.
But it's weird because she is close to him. So it's almost like, why would you push him away? But it totally
because
is a defense
mechanism.
She will
push him away before he can leave her. She will hurt him before he can hurt her. Mm-hmm. It's a total defense mechanism.
Again, more of maybe you do need to talk with someone and sort of get over some things you're dealing with, because it's almost like if you don't get through these other things,
it's just going to continue to affect you.
Yeah, how can you sort of, can you form that deep bond with someone, you know, outside of your circle? Or it'll be
fast forward to that night. They're in bed and Zach says, it kind of starts off with Zach saying the conversation earlier was unacceptable. She tells him that he can leave tonight and that she wishes she had driven herself so that she didn't have to find a way back home. This is where it starts getting murky for me as far as what I believe.
Before they even started talking, Zach's in bed, just playing on his phone, doing whatever, hanging out on Twitter, hanging out on Reddit, whatever. She slowly makes her way to the bed, plops a pillow right between them, and she almost has a look on her face of like, oh, what I'm about to do is going to get him. And it was very quick. Just me, you know, I'm just, you know, picturing movies where these kind of scenes are set up where the person's about to just keep flicking something at someone's head until they get agitated, right? They're just minding their own business and just keep flicking something.
The bully.
And I just saw it. I was like, she's going to say some shit that this conversation is going to go fucking south.
So kind of the gist of this was her saying, go home now, bye, leave, you know.
Why even say that?
Because she wants him to fight for her and say that he's not going.
But, and then it's bad timing, because what if he's already like, I am 1 foot out the door and now I just heard these words, I'm fucking gone.
Well, I mean, that's pretty much the situation. So how did you feel about it? Would you go? Because she's just saying basically, you know, that's it. Go. Fuck it.
No, I couldn't go. I would sleep on the couch. I would do something. Honestly, though, look, even if he decided to sleep on the couch in that moment in time, the conversation would still blow up. It would be
do
a fight.
So?
It would be a fight in the living room.
I don't think it would have been. Because say it even got to the point of him taking his bag out, which did. What if he said, okay, fine, I'll sleep on the couch? I think that would have been the end of it, honestly. I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying I think that's where it would have ended.
Yeah, possibly.
Or do you think she would have...
If you just asked me for, like, personally, I don't think I could leave.
Okay. Even though someone's telling you, go, just leave now. And you already wanted to leave.
Well, I don't know. It is really bad energy, but, you know, 11 o'clock at night, maybe you've had 2-3 drinks, who knows? I'd probably just wait it out.
You're changing your mind, because during the episode, you were totally taking Zach's side. Maybe you thought about it more.
No, because I'm at that moment, I'm looking at it from his view.
Yeah.
From my perspective, I'm like, I couldn't, I wouldn't do that. But from this moment of their scene.
Like through his eyes?
I would be like, well, fuck you too, I'm leaving.
Okay. Well, I was going to give you some shit. In my notes, I wrote...
No. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, in my notes, I wrote down, well, what's the difference between Corey and Evelyn? Because you were taking Zach's side and you were like, fuck yeah, leave. Evelyn kicked his ass out and you said, no, he was not, you know, single. He was a married man and he had to stand by that.
No, I'm just... Sorry, because you asked me. I was like, oh, you know, my viewpoint, if it was me, you know, I couldn't leave. But just,
well, now my comparison isn't so spicy.
But no, just the way their flow is going and just their energy.
Yeah.
It's almost like he's like, I'm so fucking done with this. I need to just get away from all of this shit.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to say some terrible stuff or something. I just need to leave.
She said a lot of terrible things to him. Told him to shut the fuck up.
Called him a dumbass.
Like,
told him to shut the fuck up. I think it was around this time.
No, it was the same fight.
Yeah. I mean, it like her mode was just going way faster than him. I mean, she was
No.
He skydiving, was, right? And he was like kind of like,
I mean, he was upset,
down.
But he was never calling her names. He was never shouting at her. Like, he never yelled at her.
Why would you ever call someone a dumbass? Someone you actually
your husband,
liked.
Man.
Your husband.
Yeah. So she,
that's
like,
disrespectful as fuck.
Like, even though
you never see her apologize for any of that stuff.
No. I was getting to this. So this is where she lost me. You can't scream at your partner. You can't call him names. Imagine the roles reversed. We'd immediately be talking about domestic violence.
Yep.
It's crazy, not okay. Huh? Yeah. And I try to think of things from multiple views, and I just can't take her side on this one. I always try to say, oh, I can see where she's coming from, or maybe, you know, the editing's weird, but this one was just so bad.
The editing even...
It was almost just like a continuous shot. Kayla
in a bad light.
Yeah.
When she mentions...
Oh, they...
I don't... She's like, I don't remember asking that's you later to leave.
On. We'll get into that. Right, but right. Even in this portion, they're doing like replays. And
oh, yeah. Oh, boy.
It's brutal. Michaela leaves, or Zach packs his things really quickly. He's going to leave. She grabs his suitcase, rolls it back into the room, and almost like lures him back into the room so they can keep yelling in there. And from what it's sounding like, I'm wondering if she even put her hands on him at this point.
Kind of like, saying like to restrain him.
Or like push him on the bed or something. Like, no, like right, you stay like, here. And he's just like...
You sit down.
Yeah. And again, too far. When you're in that mode, you cannot be like grabbing people, pushing people, anything like that. So again, if that was a dude, we'd be having a much different conversation and calling for, you know, them to be kicked off the show. And it was hard to see because... I could see her point of view and being upset other times, but this was just like way, way, way too far.
I'm with you. I got nothing. I'm right here with you, just agreeing.
Oh, and then she brings her sister into it.
That was a
little... In the middle of the night, you're going to call your sister, tell her to come get you, throw the phone at Zach. Well, not throw, but she like tossed it at him so he could talk to her. It's too much. I'm not saying like don't get your family involved or keep things quiet. That's not my issue. My issue is... In the heat of a moment,
no.
Making your sister get you.
No. Again, what I say when people talk to this their circle, they're only giving you a portion of the story. The moment her sister answers, she throws his ass right under the fucking bus. She's like, Zach decided to just ditch me. You're like, I need a ride home.
Yeah.
I was like, are you fucking kidding me? That is not what just happened.
I think that was the first rewind that they did.
That is not what just happened here.
Where she just said, leave.
This is what I mean when you are only getting a portion of the story.
But also, this is kind of what I say, where I always say, be careful of who you do tell details of your relationship to. For example, like, I don't talk about an argument with Leon to my parents, or I don't want anyone's opinions to affect my relationship. I don't want people to have opinions about my relationship. So, It seems like the sister is pretty understanding, though. She's not, like, cursing him out immediately,
no,
you know?
No,
she,
not at all.
I mean, she was like, the one at the wedding.
It seems like they both have decent relationships with each other's siblings.
Exactly, which I was surprised by. And it's actually pretty nice. I wish they appreciated that, because I think that's kind of unique to get close with other people's siblings so fast. So that's really nice. Yeah. Continuing, though.
Oh, my gosh. Everyone's outside drinking fucking mimosas. Everyone's still awake. Oh my God, it was brutal. Although, would it have been worse if they had woken up everyone? Or they were already awake?
Bao was peeking through the door and I was like, Bao, just go
when
somewhere.
When they showed that scene, I'm like, oh my God, everyone's trying to sleep. They're going to wake him up. But then they show you a shot and everyone's just outside.
Except Johnny. And he had no idea like any of this happened.
Oh, I was joking while we were watching. I'm like, damn, did Johnny like take his melatonin? Fucking haven't seen his ass the whole scene.
At one point, I just thought everyone was trying to make themselves look better. They, like, quickly calmed down, and it was weird.
Well, there's a portion that they cut out when Ryan said that, you know, we were calming him down, or Bao and him were talking things through with him. And I guess eventually Michaela came out.
Well, what happened was, is Ryan said, this isn't healthy, is what I gathered. Mm-hmm. And then she turned on him. I was like, why don't you go?
Even
and he
the
was
way
like, I
she,
will.
She's almost, like, in the mode of... She's just not, now she's just attacking everyone. Yeah. Why are you even
if
fucking
you
with Ryan
don't
over
agree
there?
With me, then you're against me, is how I took that.
I bet you know what Ryan was trying to do. Just hey, it's like, hey, buddy, you know, it's 11, 12 o'clock at night, dark roads, country roads.
Exactly.
You know, you've had two or three drinks. And mind you, I'm sure I don't even know if he was drinking. Like, he might not have been drinking.
There's no video of it.
You know,
we saw.
He might not even drink like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But two or three drinks, couple hours, he's probably like, dude, I'm totally fine, like no big deal. It's I'm totally fine. I'm sure he was just fine, but you know, kind of like your friends, like, hey, you know, just want you to drive, and kind of a lot of emotions.
He
and,
seemed okay.
Yeah, a lot of things going in your head. You know, it just.
I mean, other than being, you know obviously,
might, you know, he's probably just trying to tell him it might be easier if you just chill out, you know, just think about things and just kind of like stay here. And he was way checked out. He was gone.
Oh yeah, he was gone. He said, "I'm gonna be happy when I'm gone."
Gone. He was probably driving, bumping music like, I'm fucking free. So said Kendrick had a dream. Oh my god, he was gone.
So he takes off.
Oh boy.
Ryan says, what are we supposed to do, lay behind the car?
Oh yeah, lay under the car. Yeah. He's a fucking grown man. Can't just fucking stop him.
Exactly. So then she goes kind of on her spree, her tirade, whatever you want to call it.
Tantrum?
Yeah. She immediately kind of goes through, it looks like kind of like a rec room, with playroom, knocks over a bench, knocks over a chair.
Don't go breaking shit. Yeah, this ain't your shit.
It's not yours. So then she goes into another room, breaks the, what is that, ping pong?
Oh, just pushes it or whatever.
Well, it came apart. Well, yeah. And then the foosball table, and then slamming doors, and then you see her in the room with one of the producers, and the camera comes in, and she is, like, breaking free from that producer and slams the door in the camera.
You know, I thought that was weird.
What?
If her only intention was to, like, slam the door, how is the producer holding her back so strongly?
Well, I think just because she was, like, really going for it, you know? It wasn't, like, a soft, like, walk over. It was, I'm going full speed ahead to slam this door. And maybe she just thought, oh, you're going to attack the camera.
The dark side of production. Oh my god, this is some great video we're taking.
Oh my god, did you remember Chris? Why am I spacing on her?
Did we just have a double? Oh my god.
Did we? Gross.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, listener. Do you remember Chris and Paige and how much we saw the producer? Like, she was basically a cast member because she was constantly calming them down and talking to them.
Yeah.
I hope it's not the same person. That poor woman.
I hope not.
She needs a raise. And that's kind of all we see for right then. The big blow up. Yep. Everyone talks about it the next day. Brett mentions that she saw her, like, throw a wine glass. So there was, like,
we never saw that.
We never saw it, but...
We saw that a wine glass fell off the table as she was going to go slam the door.
I mean, we probably didn't see everything. So there was probably way more going on.
Way more shit. Yeah. That'd be insane.
So Zach leaves, and then in the middle of the night, Michaela's sister comes and gets her, and then there were eight.
Yep.
Oh my god.
The original eight.
I know! I didn't even make that connection until someone said, yeah, the original on the honeymoon. I was like, oh shit.
I was like, oh my god.
That's cold.
It all comes around.
Going back to Brett and Ryan. Ryan says, your actions are saying you don't want to try. Your words say that you do want to try, but in the car, he said his actions are what matters, so I don't even know it. Again, what is this fan saying?
I don't know, but it's a lot of nothing.
Okay, I said that wrong. Ryan did not say this. Brett said this.
Right. Yeah. But yeah. I'm falling.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Brett confronts him about why he thought they would stay in the same room. And I said this immediately. He just wanted to, like, cover his ass and make it seem like it's not as bad as it is.
I kind of get what he was saying, where he said, I want to make the best of this situation. And
he
just
said
sort of,
he wants to be adult about it and wanted to avoid a scene because he's an adult and they have, and now they have an absolute
scene.
I was like, what the hell does that mean?
Like an absolute, people are going to watch it on TV scene?
He said, I guess I was looking for any time to follow through with what I said I wanted to do. You're full of shit.
Okay, by just randomly sleeping in the same bed? Like, there's a lot of actions that have to take place.
Yeah. But he wanted his actions and words to match, and so that immediately means, even though we haven't slept in the same bed for 6 weeks, we're going to right now, just because everyone's here. Ryan says again, he loves to say this, that he has not given up. But honestly, he's given up since the honeymoon.
Yeah, there's been zero, absolutely no affection.
Yep.
No signs of them forming a closer bond. No signs of him trying. It seems like he's just kind of living the apartment, living his life.
Yeah. Gil and Mirla go horseback riding, and Mirla's back to her complaining ways. We expect it now.
They should just show a scene of them going, like, shopping or something.
How happy she would be.
Yeah, just even something basic, like just one purse or I don't know, something, whatever she's in.
Those Louis.
One pair of shoes.
He brings up her complaining, he being Gil, and she says, I receive it. And I loved that.
Gil mocks her at the end. He's like, I receive it.
That's kind of it for this episode. I mean, there was the big blow up, and it's about that was like really the main.
Jose and Rachel had like no play in this episode.
No, they
all
did
scenes
not.
That were in, I was just like, okay.
I have their name listed, but really,
I was like, you guys are doing great. Then you had a conversation about nothing at the end.
Yeah, I didn't write anything down for that.
But next episode.
let's switch over. Okay.
On the next episode of Dragon Ball. Wait, That's not this show.
So we're switching over to episode 15, Memory Lane and a Dirty Little Secret. This one I was able to do in the traditional order that I usually do, which is just covering couple by couple, so it'll be a little neater.
Awesome.
Let's start with Val and Johnny. Again, confirmed they're not sleeping in the same room. He just immediately puts his stuff in the spare room in the apartment.
And takes one of his three showers for the day.
Yes. And can we just point out
how... the second of the three showers.
Can we point out how messy his room is and how his bed isn't even made, but he's talking about how, like, Val has to always have everything perfect? No. Val reiterates she does not want basic conversation with her husband, but that's all she's going to get from him. Remember, they need the foundation, according to him, even though they've already had sex and they've already, you know, basic sex. That's just the way he likes it. Did you notice when Val and Johnny were going to Johnny's childhood home, well, and hers for that matter, that they went separately?
They are in total, we just share an apartment. We are not friends.
I don't even think he stays there most of the time. Considering his work from home days, he goes to his apartment.
Just kind of living in his home.
Yeah, I think he comes over for filming, maybe sleeps 1 to 2 days a week at most, and that's it.
Oh my gosh, the ship production must know. It must be insane. Yeah. It's just like, there's no way this couple's saying yes. They don't even live together.
They should follow him to his house. Like, why don't they follow the people to the houses? They sign a contract to film.
I don't know. Maybe they say, we can film in the apartment, but we can't film in your personal home.
Besides, like, the one episode where you do the packing.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny's showing Val childhood photos, and he admits, for the first time, he does have dad issues, which we've been calling for a long time now.
Yep, everyone can see that.
His letter to himself was along the lines of explaining he was not a happy kid, he didn't have the latest and greatest, but he wanted his younger self to be thankful for what he did have, and to forgive his dad. Val is showing Johnny where she grew up. It's just an empty field now, but there was kind of a worn trailer there before. Val would make straw huts or piles and put her Barbies in them and set them on fire.
That shit was dark as fuck.
I thought it was so funny. How scary, and what a pyro. I love her.
You love that scene, and I was like, what the fuck is going on?
I was cracking up. Kids do weird stuff, and I was also kind of a kid that didn't have a lot of friends, and so, yeah, some weird stuff happened. We don't need to go into that.
Just burning Barbies and shit.
Burning Barbies. Lots of hair cutting of Barbies, you know.
Stabbing a Barbie doll.
Oh my God. Nothing that crazy.
Okay. I mean, you're burning a Barbie doll. What's the... really that far off?
What's the line here?
You want a little poke?
Her letter to herself was... let's see. These are kind of highlights from her letter to herself. How you feel now will turn you into a brave, compassionate person. Your parents are doing the best they can. Your dad is struggling with PTSD. Try to understand. She gets really emotional at this point, and I really don't believe anything Johnny's saying in his interview. He's not going to change, and this doesn't matter.
That's sad, isn't it?
Yeah, that your wife is opening up, and it doesn't matter.
It was interesting to see what folks battle through that I'm sure a lot of people can connect with,
I
really appreciate the show for doing something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you can look at other shows that we watch. You don't really get to know someone's childhood.
No. What molded them.
You kind of just see, hey, we're this show and we're getting married because we love each other. We've been on Skype for 3 years or whatever. But it's like that whole connection of like, oh my God, like this is a human being. They had challenges.
They had challenges growing up.
Some of them were very poor. Some of them were okay, middle class, whatever.
Yeah.
It's almost like, wow, you know, we do like sort of judge these people at face value for what we're getting.
Okay, this is going to sound so stupid, but stay with me. Isn't it weird to think of that every adult that surrounds us was at one point a child?
Well, yeah, even the ones you only know them as maybe an older adult. You're like, oh my God. Imagine you as a little kid, little asshole.
I know that sounds weird, and it's like, obviously everyone was a child, but to think of what they like to do, what was, you know, their downfall, their triumphs, their...
what was their childhood fit? What were they wearing?
Yeah. It's weird to me to think of adults as children.
Just imagine us all walking around as children.
My brother.
But like we're conscious of an adult mind, so we're just like going to work as little kids.
That'd be horrible.
I say that. I was an asshole as a kid. And now
you're Mirla.
From this Mexico trip, now I'm Mirla, so...
No, we have made a lot of growth.
We mold a little bit, not too far.
I think people can change. I do believe that people can change.
Maybe it's like asshole, one or two degrees... Mirla, 1 or 2 degrees gill. It's like, it's these little variations.
Little ticks.
Yeah.
No, I believe people can change. It's just funny to think of, like, asshole adults were, like, asshole kids.
Yeah.
So this is where they have a meeting with Dr. Schwartz. What is it, their second Dr. or third? Yeah. The only, what, second, third one of the entire season. It's, like, infuriating
every time,
to see them
every
now.
Time we see these couples that are just going completely downhill, they need more help.
They need the most sessions.
They need the most assistance. We can't be having these, it's been a while since I last talked to you guys.
Yeah.
No, we can't have, it's been a while. It's been, I need to call you on the daily.
Yeah. They're like, we get periodic updates. From what? You're like not talking to them.
Student?
They probably just get raw footage. But you're not talking to them. You're not counseling them. You're not giving them advice.
Producer that's like not trained?
Well, yeah, they're just giving them footage. When they say we get updates, here's this week's footage.
Here's the highlight reel.
Thanks. I just so wish, like, they used to be so much more involved. And now I feel
maybe
like we're just
watching
them.
Maybe we need to rewatch one of the earlier seasons and confirm our thought process on
that. I swear they used to be around. Johnny said that he's learned everything he wants to learn about Val.
That's fucking cold.
That we just got done talking about our childhood home and how he feels like he needs to be, you know, more compassionate.
He's like, well, I learned a little bit about our childhood and I'm done.
Yeah.
Wow. That's kind of cold, Tesla man.
My note here was, why the fuck is he talking to her friend and why didn't her friend not tell her immediately?
This friend is fucking evil.
She's a piece of shit.
Oh, Johnny, the fact that this friend went down this road behind Val's back, isn't that red flag central?
Why are you taking this person's word
as like the definitive answer of,
yeah,
that's what I'm going to, these are the decisions I want to make with my life, is your friend is doing some whispering in my ear and this is what I'll do.
It's just such bullshit. Johnny opened up to her friend about their marriage and her response was that it all makes sense. This is what Val is like in relationships, and she would never let any of her friends date Val because she is a controlling person who tries to break you down and gives you no choice but to lean on her and rebuild you in the exact image she wants.
I had trouble understanding how they're even...
Yeah.
Because Val didn't have positive things to say about her.
No, Val says she basically would, if she were to open up about her relationship issues, she would just say, well, leave. That's it. She's not going to, like, truly listen, give advice, give feedback. Also, I want to know how Johnny and this friend even connected.
Yeah, how did they get to the...
We're privately talking.
Or is does everyone, you know, I mean, it is, you know, 6-8 weeks. I mean, does everyone just become Facebook and Twitter buddies and they just kind of chat back and forth?
I mean, maybe, but isn't that weird?
Well, yeah, why would you DM either the friend DM Johnny or Johnny DM the friend? Like, oh, hey, yeah. I heard you're looking for a car. I can talk to you about car stuff.
Yeah.
I own a Tesla. I know cars.
Yeah.
But that's also odd. Like, wouldn't you just be hanging out with your wife and being like, oh, hey, Marcy. Yeah, Marcy's looking for looking to buy a car. I'm just giving her some information.
I just think it's weird to have conversations with someone outside of your marriage about your marriage when you're not even talking to your wife.
Yeah, sounds about accurate. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Dr. Pepper kind of called him out. Like, it's kind of odd that you're taking this friend's word as the definitive answer. That's kind of weird.
Without any question.
Yeah, you should be questioning everything. All right.
But she said exactly what he wanted to hear.
Yep. Confirmation bias there.
Later that night, they're awkwardly eating dinner, like standing up at the bar. Well, the counter. Johnny said it was a good session. And
that's about it.
Well, and that he also feels bad for dragging Sarah into this, but Sarah's a piece of shit, so whatever. Maybe Val just cuts her out completely. Just, like, doesn't even talk to her.
Yeah. Excommunicado.
Something else Sarah said, which is so fucked up, is she asked Johnny if he can live with this every day.
Why is this friend getting so deep?
Yeah, why are you so invested in someone else's relationship?
Talking in these crazy ultimatums, like, for the rest of your life.
When you haven't even talked to, Cody Airfingers, your best friend. Fuck Sarah. We're not Team Sarah.
No.
Was Sarah the one... That
I was thinking...
Because she said she doesn't have many female friends, so I assume this is the lady that was in the apartment.
I want to go back and watch that episode. Just
so I can
skip,
be like, fuck Sarah.
Skip to that scene and be like, is there a Sarah?
It probably is her. She said she doesn't have many female friends.
Are you?
Val mentioning again that she's finally kind of sticking up for herself. She says, once again, ball is in your court, Johnny. And this just sets him off. The veins popping. The face is red. He's getting out of there. She says, I feel like I have to walk on eggshells. She says this so calmly, direct, nothing bad. And Johnny's leaving the apartment again.
He's like, I'm out.
Yep.
Have that wine, champagne, whatever.
She was like, cool, and giving yoga pants. I don't wear this dumb outfit anymore. Oh. The outfit was cute, but I'm sure it's uncomfortable. She's just always stuck there. He leaves all the time. I was annoyed that Dr. Schwartz also didn't do more about this situation. I feel like we could have expanded more on...
Yeah.
She pretty much just asked what you asked. Why are you taking her words so quickly?
Well, I would just tell him that you should take what you hear with a grain of salt. You shouldn't take this as just fact.
Yeah. But nope, he heard exactly what he wanted to hear, well, and he ran with
it. Even Bao iterated on that when she said, I'm not telling her all the problems in our relationship. Like, I'm not painting you in a bad light. Whereas you might only be mentioning the negative things about me.
Yeah.
You don't even mention any positives. So it's like the person only has such little information to go off of. It could lead to just misinformed guidance or guidance that could be more accurate.
Yep. I agree. Michaela and Zach. I wrote, okay, this is feeling a bit abusive. You can't do all of this, screaming, yelling, breaking things, and then say that she loves him and wonders why he doesn't call her.
Yeah. Hmm.
So they're meeting with Dr. Schwartz, and I don't agree with this. I think it's super weird that Zach called his ex to ask how he is during conflict.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess you want that feedback, but he said he wasn't surprised by the answer, so you already knew what they were going to say. I don't know. Just don't go to your ex for, like, current advice in your marriage. That's weird. We also learned this with Rachel later on. Just don't involve your ex in your current relationships. It gets messy. Even if you have good intentions like Zach, I just think anytime you bring an ex in, your partner is just not going to enjoy that. So all of Zach's exes basically told him the same thing. Said he tries to avoid conflict and doesn't like when scenes are caused. We've been hearing that for a while. I did like when Dr. Schwartz wanted to be the middle person in their communication. So you talk to them, says what they mean.
But even
what
the that message seems so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's just like, they're so checked out.
Yeah.
But again, didn't see anyone apologize.
No.
In a moment.
And Michaela was just lying.
What was the apparent lie on this one?
She was saying that she calmly said for Zach, asked Zach not to leave. That is not how that happened. At this point, Zach looks like he's going to snap, and Michaela says there's nothing else she can do. Boom. Production's here. We get more rewinds. They're so uncomfortable.
Who is cutting these?
Oh, man. These editors are brutal. She said that he has no evidence of her reacting in a bad way to him.
What?
I wish you could all see Leon's face right now.
What?
Man, you just can't lie like that, girl.
Is she like zoned out when she's having these disruptive moments? Or breaking glass?
I think she truly blacks out. She doesn't know what's going on, I don't think.
Slamming doors in cameraman's face?
Calling him a dumbass, telling him to shut the fuck up.
Calling Zach a dumbass? I mean, it's going to be interesting if they have a rewatch of this.
I mean, and they... the reunion? Hello. So much playback. I mean, the fact that they're even playing back now, like... We've seen her lie multiple times this episode. He left, which I found annoying, but at the same time, like, what is he supposed to do?
Yeah, no, I think...
I don't blame him for leaving this time.
For all we know, if he had stayed, it could have just been worse.
We're spiraling, yeah, again. Dr. Schwartz asked if she thinks she does not do these explosive things. She said she thinks she can.
What does that mean? You think you can, like, I'm physically capable of doing these things?
Or, like, I have done these things? Yeah.
As like,
that's a non-answer.
That's odd. Like, there's, why don't you just say yes? Like, yeah, I have outbursts and it's not okay. Like,
yeah.
You know, I need to work on that.
Well, that brings up the next thing she said. She said that she regrets having a panic attack when he drove off and she can't help that.
Interesting definition of a panic attack.
Because, I mean,
unless there's different, you know,
I mean,
different...
I don't want to armchair diagnose or, you know, say, oh, that's not what a panic attack is. I've just not witnessed a panic attack like this to where you're like violent. It's more internal that I've seen. I don't want to, again, not a doctor. I thought it was strange that Zach called one to have a closure meeting. If he didn't even want to return his calls previously and then she just lied in this session, what does he need closure of?
I don't know. Maybe he's trying to think of this very analytically as far as, maybe if we have this closure session, we can sort of improve ourselves after.
Yeah.
We can take something from it, what we can learn, and Maybe it'll help us in our future relationship.
Zach mentions that most of their conversations and interactions were positive. I wrote, we can talk all day about their relationship, but they need to work on their trauma alone before they can truly be with each other or anyone else. Because mm-hmm. it's just going to keep happening. And we talked about that earlier.
Yeah, I think to both of them, honestly. Him, kind of like his pursuit of perfection, and her yes. with just, you know, dealing with the loss of your father. And
yeah, and then other abandonment and trauma. But this is where it gets confusing. Zach says he would say yes on decision day if it meant it would make Michaela comfortable to talk to him again. But she's been reaching out to him.
He lost me so fast right there.
Yeah.
She said she called you and texted you, got no response.
Like many times for days.
Got no response. And now you're asking, or you're stating that you would be okay saying yes if she was open to communicating. She's been reaching out.
Yeah.
Unless she's blatantly lying about that, which in this moment, I don't think she is.
No.
What are you talking about?
He seemed to confirm it, if I remember right.
What are you talking about? You make no fucking sense, dude. Are you talking out of your ass?
I mean, I don't know what the goal is here, because they're clearly not going to work. So why are we prolonging? Michaela says that she has closure and she doesn't have much else to say. But Zach is now really wanting to talk, and I just feel like we're on his schedule a lot. When he's not willing to talk, that's it. That's final word. When he wants to talk, she has to talk.
Mm-hmm.
They agree to have one more conversation before decision day. And we can't tell if they leave together to have that conversation now or later. I assume now. I bet they go out after.
I'm not sure, but I'm sure we're going to find out on the next episode.
Yep. Gil and Mirla. Gil is showing Mirla where he grew up in kind of a rough part of town. And he showed her the apartment where his dad was shot and went into detail about the traumatic passing of his father. Mirla did not show Gil where she grew up. She took him to a random sand volleyball court and said she liked it when she was in high school. I was disappointed in this. She didn't. There's just nothing.
Yeah, I think Gil's story was really...
it was sad.
Very real. Kind of witness your dad being shot. I mean, that...
And then being in the ambulance and seeing the chaos.
He seems to be doing well at this moment in time, mm-hmm. but I'm sure...
I mean, he said it himself.
Lot of pain.
Yeah, and he said it himself. He wonders how his life would be different if his dad was alive.
Yeah.
I was bummed Mirla didn't open up too much, didn't really show him anything. It did get a little better towards the end. She showed him a photo of a very small home that she shared with her siblings and parents. It was a one-bedroom, tiny home. But that's kind of all we got. So I don't know. Well, I wish she would open up more.
I did like how it kind of led to them saying, living in those moments kind of pushes me to work harder because I don't want to go back there.
Exactly. And how it molded both of them and pushed them to where they are now.
Mm-hmm.
In their meeting with Dr. Schwartz, Gil expresses that he wants more optimism and openness from Mirla. Also, we found out the love word has not been said.
No, Mirla said, I choose to love you.
Yes, to love my husband.
But she hasn't strictly said, I love my husband.
No, and she has not. Well, she hasn't told him, I love you, is what correct, it is. Correct. She'll announce that I am in love with my husband, but she won't say. And same for him, he hasn't said.
And he mentions, you know, I've thought about it. I've, you know,
mm-hmm.
kind of like.
And she's like smitten.
Flirted with the idea. They're getting there.
And then we bring up money.
Yeah, money is interesting. I don't think firefighters get paid that much.
No,
I
mean, sadly.
Service workers definitely should be, you know, the folks that protect us and take care of us should definitely be well compensated, but sadly it's not the role we live in. But Mirla makes, I guess, much more than mm-hmm. he does.
And they just want to make sure that they're saving enough for a house, for a child, and for a nanny.
This was really interesting because Gil mentioned, you know, for what we want to save, maybe we'll get there in 6 years. And then maybe 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, just the way we're going. Okay, great. So now I think he's bringing up the point of, what if we both lock it down even more and we could start making our dreams happen in
soon.
A year yeah. and a half, let's exactly. just say. If we were to sacrifice some shopping and trips.
Yeah.
And Mirla doesn't really like that idea. But in my mind, I was thinking, why wouldn't you sacrifice a year and a half to start going on your dream life with your partner?
Yeah.
Versus in 3 to 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like not that big of a sacrifice.
Exactly. So I said it a few episodes ago. Mirla's making her own money. She has a great savings. Yeah, why should she have to change? Well, in situations like this, you're not really being asked to change. You're just asking, it's short-term sacrifices for your long-term goal. And I wish you would see it that way versus, well, this is how I live, you know?
I think she's in a mode of, their goal is to get a house, have a kid, mm-hmm. at least. I mean, yeah. Gil wants like eight, but at least a child.
Yeah.
And she still wants the, well, obviously you have to afford the child. Apparently she wants a nanny, mm-hmm. which, man, this must be a new thing for folks our age that they're just getting nannies left and right.
I mean, good for them. Balance your life.
A nanny. But
if
then,
I could get a nanny,
still,
I would.
I'm assuming the shopping to continue and the trips.
Yes.
Somewhere in
something
there.
Something has to give, right?
Unless you're just making buku bucks, which, hey, she might. Great for her. That's awesome.
But again,
some people have to sacrifice something.
I think most
at
people
some
do.
Point in life. Yeah. Like something has to drop. Whether it's a hobby, if you got 10 hobbies, you might drop some. Maybe you only take a vacation 2-3 times a year versus 4 times a year. Yeah. Like, you know, just certain things just start getting cut back. Yeah. That's like their, it's almost like that's their biggest.
That is their biggest
of conflict.
Yeah. Because even Mirla, yeah, he calls her a brat and that she's throwing tantrums, but like she's actively working on that. This is something that she's really not willing to budge on. So this will affect decision day, I think. Mm-hmm. Not too much. They're going to say yes.
You know, and even when they talked about the love word, when she was drunk off the 25-cent martinis, I think is what it was. Man, just the way she talked about Gil, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you are totally fucking in love. You just don't, you almost are protecting yourself at
exactly,
this point.
Exactly.
From maybe the chance he says no and then your heart's broken.
Yeah.
It's almost like you're just.
Or doesn't say it back.
You're just slightly just. You know, holding back, but I don't know. That was a pretty raw interview.
I don't see her giving up her marriage for shopping.
No.
Because that's kind of what it comes down to.
I can't see that happening.
No, same. Man, I didn't really like that she brought up her ex in this session. She said, I would tell my ex and he would just say, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, and then we clap back of like, well, are you with your ex?
Yeah, but like, why bring it up at all?
I don't know. That
you're not with him. It clearly didn't work out. Don't compare me to your ex. That's not okay. Yeah. That rubbed me the wrong way. Don't use your ex as an example of how you want me to be when that clearly didn't work out. Jose and Rachel. Jose explains how his parents built a house in a nice school district and now him and his sister have degrees. The end.
Rachel says, you got a house?
Yeah. She expresses that she doesn't really think he struggled and kind of feel the same way. I mean, okay, I can't say he didn't struggle. He didn't struggle if we're comparing the cast members in a similar way.
Right. I mean, some folks are sharing one bedroom.
Yeah, Mirla's tiny, home. Val's trailer. No, he got a house. He talked about how they ate rice and beans every day, and I cracked up. Rachel is so right.
He mentions it like it's a point of like, we're struggling.
We struggled so hard. We had to have rice and beans. And Rachel cracked me up. She said, eating rice and beans is just real Hispanic.
Accurate. In my head, I was like, that's real Mexican.
Yeah. Rachel viewed it as interesting that he views it as he not having a lot himself growing up. And it seems like they were doing okay.
Yeah. I guess everyone kind of...
We didn't... Rachel never took him, did she?
No.
Isn't that weird?
Not that I recall.
Yeah, I have nothing on Rachel.
I wonder if something didn't work out and maybe they just didn't catch that footage.
But also, like, some couples didn't have to write letters to each other. Weird, right?
That was odd.
So, later on, they're meeting with Dr. Schwartz. And Rachel's talking about how she learned what Jose's triggers are, and Jose is learning how not to be overbearing. And I wrote, okay, thank God, he stopped trying to feed her. Rachel hints that she hasn't told him something about the night that he locked her out. And I knew it. I called it immediately.
It was...
She called her ex.
Why would you do that?
Revenge. Simple. You want to make him jealous.
I don't like that mindset. No. That's kind of scary.
Yeah.
That's really scary.
Man, I've been Team Rachel so hard in this situation. And
of
now...
all the people you could have dialed in
sister,
that cell phone.
Mom, sister's boyfriend that we've seen a lot.
I love how she words it as, oh, I called him. I think she's like, oh, and he happened to pick up. Like, oh, I expected him not to pick up.
Well, and he picked me up.
I was like,
Honestly, well, Jose dealt with this a lot better than I thought he would. They showed, like, the little footage of them in the living room, like, actually calmly talking about it. Granted, up till 4 a.m.
If it was such a shock to him of, like, holy crap. He must have straight up asked her, did you guys have sex?
And what do you think?
I'm sure she said no.
But what do you think happened?
I think yes.
What? No.
I just think yes. I mean, I don't know. I just...
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just like, yeah. You call a guy at midnight. You want to stay at his pad. You're probably poking. That's just, you know, face value.
I think the guilt would eat her alive.
Yeah, and you mentioned that to me while we were watching. I get you. And from what Jose said, you know, hey, I'm just going to have to trust my wife on this. So she probably said no, and most likely probably nothing happened. But I'm sure he doubled that back with, if this ever happens again, I will leave you so fast.
I mean, he already said that his guards are back up. Which, understandably, I'm sure
his words were very close to what I just said.
Yeah.
There would be like, and I will bet he will have her sign some kind of prenup.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So
I was surprised. And I think
that those sort of barriers or safety nets will allow him to keep moving forward.
Yeah.
But without those, I'm sure he would just end it quick. Yeah. If she was unwilling to sign a prenup, or obviously if she took it the wrong way when he said, you know, if you do this to me again, I will definitely like end this marriage, as far as ever calling your ex again, or ever staying at a man's house, like this shit is over so fast. I mean, how can you you're like, yeah, that makes sense. If you kind of counter that, I mean, it might as well be over immediately. You know, why are you progressing in this marriage?
Man, I was defending her from the jump.
But now it's so much worse that she put herself in that position, because now she's at a point of weakness. It's almost like, I have...
Yes, exactly, exactly. Like, and he forever. Will use it. He will use like, it.
Fuck, man, that sucks too.
Yeah, because also she always wants to be independent and she doesn't want to check in all the time. Well, not necessarily that, but what I'm saying is...
But like, it's like one way you're like, I'm super independent woman, but I ran into an issue when I called my ex. I'm like, what? Go to the fucking hotel. Come on, a strong independent woman, just go to the damn hotel and get a room. Like, oh my God, there's like, call your sister. Like,
I'm just calling a family so member. So many things. Or a best friend, you know?
So many options. Yeah. Like, why would you do that?
Yeah, I wish she didn't put herself in that situation, because Jose's going to hold it over her forever. Yeah. Nothing you can do now. Brett and Ryan. They're going fishing together, and Ryan says he grew up not knowing what a healthy relationship was. Excuse me, a healthy marriage was. Brett describes her childhood as idyllic, and it really was a great childhood. We also didn't get to see his childhood home.
Yeah, it's...
We just kind of went to the general area, I guess.
The editing was just kind of weird. The way they were... Usually there's like that structure, and it'll follow, and then everyone has that piece, but it didn't really work out this way.
No. Ryan's letter was... Generally, spend time with family, be yourself, and pace yourself. 2019 will be painful, and you will live with. Brett's letter was, through friendship, you will learn what love is, and don't let boys make you sad. The right one will make you smile a lot. So, we go to Brett and Ryan's apartment, and it looks like they were going to go through Brett's childhood photos. But 10 minutes earlier, she received a text message.
I thought this was Brett's apartment.
It is Brett's.
Okay.
Did I say Ryan's?
You said Brett and Ryan's apartment.
Oh.
Anyway.
Well, it's Brett's apartment. And 10 minutes prior to them sitting down, she received a text from her friend. She saw him on a dating app. They matched.
Oh, boy.
That same day.
Oh, boy.
You know, we knew this was coming from the previews, and we kind of discussed how, well, maybe he had this and never deleted it. What if, you know, they matched months ago?
I was giving him the benefit of the doubt. I was like, what if he swiped correctly 3 months ago before the show started and... Her friend had just matched. I don't know if that's how these works, but...
But we find out Ryan downloaded the app that day. We were screaming.
you actually called it right on the show I was comparing this to. This is like those episodes of Cheaters.
Yeah.
Where the person's caught and like the camera crew's out and they're like, what do I do now? I
just flee.
Just get up and walk away.
Exactly.
So brutal.
She says, we have 1 week left, man. You couldn't have waited... 1 week to jump back in there. And no, he couldn't.
And Brett was such a savage.
Yeah, I love that she was just like smiling and was like, you're a fucking joke.
Like, wow. 7 fucking days, dude.
You couldn't wait.
7 days.
And he really has nothing to say. He says, sorry that came up that way.
He's like, I'll just get up and go now.
He just leaves. Yeah, he has nothing to say. He kept trying to say, it's not active. You downloaded it that day. What do you mean it's not active? It also has to be active for you to be matching with people.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. He keeps trying to justify himself and be like, I'll show the camera crews. It doesn't fucking matter. You're a dog.
The producer was like, you should send that to
her. Yeah, I was like, why are you creating drama? Get out of here. She says she doesn't give a shit. She doesn't want to see it. Do you want to hear the text? Because it's bullshit.
Yeah.
So he texted her, you're welcome to do whatever you deem best for you, honestly. I promise you that I didn't download it with the intention of it being shown as active until after decision day, and still have no idea why it was showing as active. I never meant to put you in this position. He's so full of shit.
Yeah, he says it's not active, and then Brett says, but you matched today.
And you downloaded it today.
Which means you were...
It was active. So you mean right this second you're not on it? Yeah, that matters. Ugh, I want to like Ryan. I like his sense of humor, but man, he is just...
Not ready for marriage.
Or no, at least, not you know, at all.
Just Brett wasn't his cup of tea.
No.
His cup of red tea.
On the next time on, we see kind of group drinking, and then they individually meet with their friends and families right before decision day. So we're going to stretch out this decision day as long as we can, per usual.
That you have
probably three or four. Because they separate decision days,
five,
right?
Five for the post show.
Yeah, I would say four.
Yeah. There's clearly we're super fans.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Honestly, these episodes were fucking fantastic.
It was like, really good.
We were getting super hype watching them, and just our reactions.
We're absurd when we watch the show, yeah, I have to tell
our
you.
Our reactions, and some of you may have caught my tweets of just...
Oh, yeah, we were watching, live tweeting.
We were watching it Thursday, just catching up. So I was just sort of like tweeting just kind of what I thought as we were... And it's just so good. It really does captivate us. And thank you guys for like tuning in. And I think... I think one of our latest episodes was like our most downloaded.
Yeah, thank you to all the new listeners, awesome. And of course the return listeners. It's awesome to see the numbers, and I really like it. It's so little compared to podcasts, but it makes me happy.
It's so small for us. I was like, oh my God.
It was so nice to see. So thank you guys for listening.
Yeah, I really appreciate all of you. That's awesome.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode. Again, thank you for your grace in letting us combine this week so that we could take a little time off. I hope you have a great weekend. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we will talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye, guys.